The Monday means tests. It gets better every week, David King, this footy. It gets better every week.
Crazy, isn't it? Morning, G.
How are you? So Professor amazing. Adam says 288 combinations remain with a round to play.
288?
288.
Well, how are we supposed to get anything right if there's still 288 combinations?
Astonishing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And 35 of our 1,500 players have the Swans in second place.
See, I don't feel anywhere near as bad about my tipping being on the bottom row right now when you say that. How the hell are we supposed to get that right? 288. So I wonder how many have Melbourne plummeting outside of the top four.
Yeah, yeah. So if Sydney beat St Kilda and nothing ridiculous happens with percentage, we're down to 35 to see if someone's got it.
But it's only a goal or two.
Yeah, yeah. There's
not much.
Few possibilities, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so give me a King's Gambit on where we find ourselves after round 22.
Round 22, Jared. Who's your best player?
Health.
Health's your best player. Sydney, almost a clean bill of health. So Kennedy, obviously, has been the talking point. And Naismith, we haven't really seen all year. Geelong. Not one injury to be spoken about at the Cattery. Melbourne, obviously Tom McDonald, but he's been AWOL for a while. Brisbane have got a couple of concussions in Adams and Archie. I just want to get back over the Cats. When was the last time we've seen a team have the luxury of resting Smith and Duncan and resting Selwood and Blitzarves the week before, and you know Dangerfield's had his little moments and had to effectively a rest? We haven't seen this for so long. I think we're just dusting over the fact that they've had the luxury of resting prime movers for the last fortnight. Like, what a position to be in. Like, it's the top spot locked away. So my attention now goes to this. They've got the greatest selection pressure on right now. And it's a fantastic position to be in if you're Chris Scott. He hasn't never been in this position before. This is as good as it gets, Jared. Top of the table, playing great footy, everything's working, and you've got to find a way to leave three players out. It's amazing. It is absolutely unbelievable what's happening for Geelong and by Geelong right now. So well done to all the planning and the strength and conditioning department to get it to this point. And this goes back. You know, we talked about Chris Scott at the start of the year saying, well, this is what we're going to do, and if it works, it'll work big, and if it fails, it'll fail big, and I'll wear it either way. And here we are. Like, I know it all can go wrong in September. I know all that, but let's just appreciate what's happened to this point. It's frightening.
Our categories are steeped in the squeeze for position, home finals, making it, qualifying, but there's no escaping today's big issue, and that is Essendon from the final game of the round. It feels like there's an administrative Hunger Games on at the moment to see who will survive and who will be sacrificed in the aftermath of it. This is usually these things start at the coaching position, but I said to you at the start, this is port of call is not the coaching position in this instance. So a season that started 2-10, but this was rock bottom. It was rock bottom what they delivered yesterday, and there's clearly white hot anger in the Essendon community.
There's three people trying to get on a two-man life raft, Jared. Someone's going to pay, and it looks like one doesn't care who the other one is as long as it's not them. You just see white towel in football. You just see it, and that's what it looks like. You know, that second quarter, you can go through all the numbers you like. The effort wasn't there. The bare minimums weren't there. There's a club with zero standards. I mean, these two clubs entering that game are in the same position. They both can't make the finals. So what are you doing? Well, you're representing your fans. You're representing that the future, yeah, whilst it doesn't bring finals this year, we're setting up for next year, and we're challenging every player on the list to be a better product today than what they were last week. And the coaches are driving these non-negotiables through the course of the game. And you see the second quarter, they cough up 7 goals, 2-1. 11 tackles they laid. Pressure 161. So we talk a lot about pressure because you can't always get to the tackle. So the chasing pressure is important. The frontal pressure is important. So what are you actually doing when you don't have the football, which is 99% of the game? Pressure 161. So they get blown away in the second quarter. You think, well, they'll fight back. I mean, that can happen. That can happen. They'll fight back. And then you get to the last quarter. I showed a stoppage last night, and I hope you get to see it, Jared, because if it were a training session, the coach would have blown the whistle and said, hey, bring it in. Stop training, bring it in. What is this? Get back out there, get serious, let's start to move. They were stationary. So the last quarter, they kicked 9 goals from 18 entries inside the forward 50. They had given up. They had given up Essendon. 8 tackles for the quarter, pressure of 152, which I think would be the lowest quarter for the year. Now, that's a guess, but if it's not the lowest, it's in the bottom 3 or 4. So everything we talk about with Essendon rears its head every 4 weeks. They don't buy into the defensive side of the game. So I think they've got enormous system problems, enormous. And everyone keeps telling me, yeah, but, you know, that it'll correct, and another year, and they're a young side. They're a young side learning bad habits. That's where they are. There's no advantage being young learning these habits. So something's got to give. And I said it last night, they've had the opportunity to have this discussion with Alistair Clarkson. What could you do with this group? You don't necessarily have to give him the job. Hey, what do you think this list's at? Where do you think we should be in 12 months' time? Are we taking the right steps towards our next premiership? Because they've been nowhere for a long time. And they've fumbled around. For a ruthless club of 20 years ago, they're a shadow of that right now. So that's why we're at this point. And I'm not just talking the coach. I'm talking up the chain a bit. So what do you do? Do you sit on your hands and say, no, it'll come good, it'll come good? Or do you make drastic change, shake the tree a little bit, see what falls? Because I feel sorry for the Essendon fans who keep turning up and keep putting their money up. You know, they've been supporting for a very barren time this last 10 to 15 years. So something's got to give.
It would be interesting to know what their internal findings in their review were that reassured them that success is coming, because it runs counter to the public performances when it's really mattered in 2022.
So what does Kevin Sheedy think? Well, he was on that review.
Yep.
He was a major player in that review. Well, what does he think? What does he see? Because I'd love to know his thoughts. Is he thinking that – is it all about list? I mean, we sort of had this discussion yesterday. And you chop and change with lists. That's what we do, because you see different things. You can have a month of good football, a month of bad football, and things do change. The facts change. But if it's not the list, then what's missing at Essendon? They can't have had a bad list for 20 years. They just can't have. And I don't think the list's that bad. I think there's a lot of tools. But again, they only play one side of the game. That's when they've got the footy. And that's, unfortunately, 2% of the game, 1% of the game.
Were they right not to buy a ticket in the Clarkson lottery?
No, they've made an awful mistake there. Why wouldn't you be in that? Like, these are huge businesses, huge. You know, $100 million sort of annual turnover. It's not a development ground for coaches. I understand you've got to take a risk at times through the course of the journey on an inexperienced coach at some point, and hope that he becomes a great coach and maybe wear a little bit. But I think this is Ben's third year. I think his first year was basically under the shield of John Worsfold. He did all the structural side of the game. They won 6.5 games. Last year they won 11 games and played some pretty good footy, some really exciting footy, albeit offensive. And then this year the same flaws are still there. So what's getting better? So that's my problem with what they do at Essendon. And I just don't think they're ruthless enough as an administration on themselves. It's a pretty comfortable playground out there.
Yep, I don't think it's comfortable this morning. So this reckoning has been a little while coming. So we wait and watch. Yeah, and if they've moved through an internal review and now get their way for the external review, I mean, they've wasted half a season at that point, haven't they, on the decision that they didn't make at the time. And then by the time that work is done and the shakeup happens, Clarkson's not on the market, how many positions change from the top down? And we're talking from the president down, we're not talking the coach in this instance at the starting point.
Say you're in charge of Essendon, Jared, right? Just put yourself in that position. I don't really understand the point of doing a full review at the end of season when most decisions are made prior to the end of season. You need to get yourself in order.
So they're behind schedule now.
They're in real trouble now.
Yeah.
So they you would think logically that Clarkson is off the table for Essendon, and they would have doubts about their own setup. That's an awful position to be in.
They are the big issue today. Essendon, it's a live scenario. Sam Edmund is keeping tabs on what's happening out at the hangar, and you've had plenty to say. 0433 98 11 16, temper a mattress like no other. We'll try to get to some more calls as we go. We are in our means test. There's so much to play with. They got that right. Preliminary final integrity, the pressure index, the best bits, the debate, it's all to come with David King. Sam Edmund has told you that all the pressure, all the heat revolves around the president's position at Essendon, Paul Brasher. Mitch Cleary's going to step further than that now, saying that Brasher will step down as president at a board meeting later today. So the two figures that Sam mentioned, Peter Allen and Dave Barham, one will likely be the president of the Bombers by the end of the day. So that's the starting point. As things burn away at the hangar after yesterday. Our means test, we're going to go deep. Swans and Pies, D's and Blues, next. Dealer's choice, David King, you can choose. Are we doing Melbourne and Carlton in their respective categories first, or are we doing Sydney and Collingwood in their respective categories?
We don't do enough Sydney.
I think you've owned Sydney.
Oh, I love Sydney.
For months.
Well, John Longmire.
I've been scratching my head going, Sydney, they're going to finish second.
I know.
They're going to lift the cup, and I'm still not sure about Sydney. I'm much sure about Sydney after watching them yesterday.
Yeah.
So well, I bow to your good judgment. So are we doing that?
Let's do that.
Let's go. They got that right in every respect. Biggest crowd at the SCG in 26 years. It was a straight throwback to when your Sundays used to be lunch with mum and dad, and then in front of the telly to watch the SCG game. And weren't they something?
Panda Dr. Edelson every 5 minutes in the crowd. Look, it's a great game. I mean, the build-up, it was everything, wasn't it? It was box office. I wish DeGoey had have played because he was the wild card that Collingwood needed all day, but Sydney was so professional. I thought it was one of the coaching performances of the year. So what do you have to do to beat Collingwood? Well, you've got to stop their counterpunch. Okay, our pressure's got to be high. Their pressure was enormous. So how do you set the game up to allow the Swans forward half to put on pressure? Well, we can't be drawn inside the contest. So every time the ball went to a live ball situation, a spilt ball, it's almost like Sydney would ring them, would be 3 metres outside the Collingwood players who'd be invested in the middle. So every time they got the ball, they were under pressure, frontal pressure coming from behind, had to operate at a speed, they weren't comfortable. Continue to turn the ball over, game on turnover, favoured Sydney heavily. Don't let Nick Dacos create from back half. So they tag him there. So McRae says, I've got to move him because I can't have the kid getting tagged at half back. Big tick. So straight away, he goes into the midfield order half forward, effectively as another midfielder. And Mills does the job. If he's around you, Callum, you just lock him away. You look at the game thinking, well, how do Collingwood get back into this? Now, Elliott was well clamped. Shame that Jack Ginnivan went off because he does some things that create scores, but unfortunately he went off mid-second term. And I just thought John Longmire's ability to say, okay, now we've got the scoreboard looking like a 2-3 goal margin. Let's give him two enemies. Let's just take time off the clock and slowly move the ball down the ground, get deep entries and continue with this pressure plan. They are going to be incredibly difficult to beat at the SCG. Because of the simplicity of how they play, it is basically brilliant, and it's so difficult to take Sydney's game off them because it's built on the fundamentals of effort and pressure, all the things that you can bring every week, regardless of talent levels or form. That they've got a batch of kids that are just next level. Like Sweetfeet Gordon, our man, he's a ripper. Heaney did some things yesterday. Showed a bit of vision last night. He kicked the ball from the wing forward and then charged. Finished in the goal square, tapping the ball back to Franklin. Franklin finishes with a goal. And I might have a chat with Kane about where he sits in the competition right now because he's in serious form too,
yep.
Lance. So Rowbottom's becoming a serious player. We talk about Warner a lot, but I think Rowbottom's the one. He's a little bit He's their Ben Cunnington. He's a bit of a tractor. Like, he's just one speed all day, and he just keeps turning up and winning clearance and winning contest. And his form is so important. The clearance and contest game was the one thing we were waiting for, you know, from round, say, 12 onwards. And it's arrived in a hurry. I had a look at the ladder through the year, Jared. So at round 8, they're sitting 6th. At round 12, they're sitting 6th. At round 16, they're sitting 8th. At round 19, they're sitting 6th. At round 22, they've found their way to 2nd.
Yep.
This is what you talk about. Timing your run is everything.
Yeah. So the night they beat Fremantle in Perth, that was the night they locked away the top 4 and opened this possibility up. And remember John Longmire's reactions in the aftermath and how much of that was built on a plan that they concocted together and executed perfectly. They'd opened up this opportunity and they've been able to sweep through. They got one step to go to make sure that they bank it against St Kilda at Marvel.
Well, boring John lets his emotions out every now and then. He doesn't give us too much in the post-match. You won't learn one thing from his press conferences, Jared. You won't. But I think when you see him on the bench, invested in the group, I think he's a great bench coach. I really do. He's eyeballing the players. He's instructing. He's letting the upstairs crew do what they do in terms of the mechanics of the game. He knew this was coming. We talked about this 18 months ago. He said, "I've got this group of kids. They are special." He said, "I don't know how quick they can arrive." I think that, you know, I looked at the experience through the Sydney core. So they average 110 games per player on the weekend, which is 6th for the round. Okay, so it's not as young as you think. Geelong are 145 games on the weekend. So it's a season and a half behind Geelong per player. So this is ahead of time. I love the teams can do it ahead of time, because then you've got what, 5, 6, 7 years to do it again.
They have a big window.
Yeah. So this is so exciting for the old South Melbourne and Sydney Swans fans.
Where does it leave you with Collingwood? Felt like not much went right.
No,
now part of that was what was imposed on them, but missing Adams and then losing DeGoey, and then it's the Swans set up, and it just felt like nothing went right for them, and it's costing their place in the top 4. That's how fine the margins are.
Yeah. They've been a hard one to place all year, Collingwood. I love the way they play. And again, just put it simply, what makes them great makes them gettable. That investment at the football, the outnumber, as soon as you don't quite locate possession or have an inability to put the opposition under enormous pressure, then you're vulnerable. So we haven't seen them exposed really over the last few weeks. They have been early in games, but certainly not late in games. They've always chased the scoreboard over the last few. Eventually, someone was going to get them. You just can't keep winning like that. But what he's been able to do is give a club an opportunity to still finish top 4. Look, well, it's just been an unbelievable ride this year. So there's no reason why gather and go again next week. I think what it does do, it highlights what life's like without DeGoey, because when you just needed that one spark on the weekend, it wasn't there. And when you haven't got that player, it's difficult to – he goes where the problem is. Okay, we're getting beaten in the middle. Put DeGoey in. In you'll go, and it's all ripped, tear and bust, and it's a classier version of Stringer. You know, he's there. He's there, Shea Bolton. Okay, we're going well. Slip him forward again. Let him go forward, or let him get forward after the centre bounce. So just be careful what you wish for with DeGoey, would be my advice. If you're Collingwood, I wouldn't be rushing him out the door, because you need him. This group need Jordan DeGoey. If they're to have success in the next 2 to 3 years, he's not a part of it. He's a major driver. I know he might cost you a bit more, and I know, you know what, there's going to be some late nights where you're going to think, I hope the phone doesn't ring. And some off-season occasions where you think, gee, where is he? But come game day, that 2 hours, when he's not there as opposed to when he is, they're poles apart. We missed him, didn't we? Collingwood fans missed him on Sunday.
Yeah, they certainly missed him yesterday. So that's the SCG on a Sunday. And then there was the MCG on a Saturday night.
Oh.
So that was a remarkable game. It was... In a way, it was torturous the whole way through. It was the sheer battle of it was quite distinct, not just phases of battle, but so Carlton laid it all out there. Mm. You could just about hear the build up to the week, I think, in the way that they were undermanned everywhere, but they were going to die on that hill. And all night it had the feeling of late heroics, heartbreak. And I kept thinking, I think Carlton are going to, it's going to happen for Carlton right at the end. And it happened for Melbourne right at the end. And it's all there. Like the forensic analysis that Kane ran yesterday, the chain of evidence for both teams, it's clear. It's this, 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 and this. This is the sequence of events. It's a whodunit laid out bare.
Mm.
And Michael Voss, I think, gave voice to what every Carlton supporter I've bumped into in the past 36 hours is, one more mark, just one more contest won. That's how close they were. They were 11 seconds away from their finals appearance and one mark or one more contest. So should we do Carlton first?
Yep.
It's the pressure index because now they've got to regroup and do it again after the exhaustion and the heartbreak of all of it, and it was writ large on every face in the stands and on the field. They have to regroup and do it again on Sunday.
Yeah. This is why I'm such a massive fan of Carlton, okay? And maybe I've been seduced, Jared, I don't know. But it's not the who, it's the how. They don't really care who's in the lineup. They don't really care who's playing down the back six. We're missing X, Y, and Z. No matter. This is how we play. These are the standards. This is what we expect of you. This is what we expect of you. Blah, blah, blah. So on and so forth. Midfield banged up. Down on numbers. They shouldn't have even been in the game, Jared. They really shouldn't have been in this contest. But they found a way. The standards, the non-negotiables. You can feel Michael Voss in this team. You can.
Yep.
You look out there and you say, how are they doing this? Defensively brilliant. They shut Melbourne down. Melbourne, they couldn't move the ball. And I thought, wow, this is getting harder and harder for Melbourne. They're staying in the game longer. The greatest lead for Melbourne was 11 points, and the greatest lead for Carlton was 8 points. It was just stuck. It was like every quarter, righto, we start the scoreboard again, let's go. It was just a terrific battle. And in the end, a little bit of brilliance from Cozzy Pickett. Love games that finish like that, okay? Heartbreak on one side, and maybe, you know, the biggest lessons are hardest learned. That you sometimes need to lose a game like this to have such growth coming forward. And I know I keep talking about next year with Carlton because I just don't expect this year to be the year. You know, having watched them a lot through preseason, and Vossi's so accessible and so open with us that this is what I'm doing, bang, 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 and we're going to build on it. But the standards we're talking about and the non-negotiables we're seeing at Carlton, we're not seeing at many other clubs. And I know they may miss the 8, but they're coming with a bullet, Jared. And it's not about limping into 8th and playing one final this year. It's not. It's about building to that next premiership. So I had a little look last week at where the premiership team comes from on the table the previous year. So Melbourne 2021 come from 9th the previous year. Richmond finished 3rd with a premier the previous year in 2020. 2019, they finished top and made a prelim. So you've got 9th, 3rd, 1st. West Coast in 2018 finished 8th the previous year. Richmond in 2017 finished 13th the previous year. Western Bulldogs in 2016 finished 6th. So you can come from anywhere on the table. So I don't get consumed by the fact they could finish 9th this year as opposed to 7th, 8th, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a premiership industry. So people will get hung up on not playing finals. I think you got to look past that. That they've had an unbelievable year. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think Saturday night is that. So it would have been so I was of the view it would be a disaster not to make the finals from the platform. We debated this last week. But because they laid it all out there in such a manner and the margins are so narrow, I do think it – that dilutes that. I do. If we believe in that phrase, you get what you deserve in football, they'll make the 8. I just think their season deserves to finish with a place in the 8, particularly when you consider what might replace them. I like this. Does Carlton need to watch Ted Lasso be a goldfish? Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Let's just take a breath before we do Melbourne, because I don't want to curtail that conversation. It's in what was done right is the lever kick inboard Melksham mark against a huge outnumber, and then Pickett's very fine goal to finish with. So we'll run preliminary final integrity over Melbourne, who are in the top four. But this game to come on Friday night will determine all of that. Melbourne's weather, a shower or two, a top of 14 for City Power upgrades, keeping electricity in Melbourne's CBD reliable. Preliminary final integrity. David King runs the rule over Melbourne in a moment. An addendum to our big issue, which is Essendon. Sam Edmund back with us for Effective Freight Solutions. Get started with us today. Sam, what's going on with Essendon?
Morning again, Jared. Kingy. So Paul Brasher, the outgoing president of the Essendon Football Club, decided that he would walk away from the club yesterday before this embarrassing loss to Port Adelaide. Now, the reason Brasher decided to do that was because there's still sections of the board, still now, that want an external review conducted on the football operations at the Essendon Football Club. The internal review, led by Sean Welborn and helped by Simon Madden and Kevin Sheedy, had come back. There were sections of the board that were unhappy with those results. It was put to a vote to then do an external review. Now, Paul Brasher felt, regardless of how that vote was going to play out, that his leadership had been undermined. So he took the decision that he was going to step aside from the Essendon Football Club before the annihilation at the hands of Port Adelaide. Now, David Barham has been on that board since 2015. Peter Allen is the vice president. My understanding is that David Barham put his hand up to take over as president, but that will go to a vote today. That is why the board is meeting to decide who the next president of the Essendon Football Club will be. Will it be David Barham or will it be Peter Allen? And all of this angst stems, as we said earlier, from the announcement a month after saying there was no review to be conducted of an internal football department review that had angst at the time, and that angst has festered over the course of the season, a 7-win season in their 150th year that's been so disappointing. And now it's cost, ultimately, Paul Brasher his position as chairman of the football club.
So there'll be a new president by the end of the day. I wonder what the immediate course of action is. So if that portion of the board, which has been unhappy with the direction around internal reviews and has made that known in that room the whole way through, then assumes power, then all bets are off.
Yeah, like we said earlier, once the rudder changes hands, whoever's got control of the steering wheel takes over, and those forces that always want an external review, then the imagination does cast forward to what might happen from here. And clearly the people in positions of power at that football club in the football department, well, I think it's fair to say if there is, or when there is a change of leadership, they're going to face some uncertain times.
Sam, thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
Would it be too late to gazump the Kangaroos, or if it is to be the Giants?
So, if you're going to be the president by the end of the day, by nightfall, I'm pretty sure I'm in James Henderson's office right now. I'm going to be the president at the end of the day. Have I got 4 hours? Have I got 12 hours? Have I got 24 hours? Have I got 48 hours? Or am I too late?
You've had 12 months and you might be 24 hours too late. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Wouldn't be a great picture of strategic direction, would it? But a new president has not only license to, but an almost an obligation to look at it all with a fresh set of eyes, not wedded to the pledges of loyalty of the past.
Do you reckon Jeff Walsh get another phone call today? Can you come down the road 20 minutes?
Run another review.
Do another one.
Preliminary final integrity, Melbourne. How do you want to approach the D's?
Well, it's just no one's sure whether they love the D's or they don't. They could finish second on the table, and there'd still be the doubters, and we're probably all jumping from one side to the other. So I'm just trying to look at what assets they've lost from last year to this year. So I had a look at their ball movement yesterday after what Carlton did to them, just slowing them down. First seven rounds of the year, number one team taking the ball coast to coast. Next six, seven rounds of the year, they dropped to eight. And then the last, since round 16, they're 17th in the competition. They've been able to take the ball one end of the ground to the other. They can't move the ball at the moment. They've lost their dare. They've lost their bravery. So I'm just wondering, okay, so that's one asset. Take that off the table. So now they can't move the ball. Their defensive 50 is failing at the moment. It's ranked ninth over the last 6 weeks. Now, it doesn't sound like a bad ranking, but when you compare that to the teams they're going to be playing in the next few weeks, that's a bad ranking. okay? Because they're gonna stand toe to toe with a Sydney or a Geelong, and they say, "Oh, what are your assets and what are ours?" So you go, okay, defensive 50 in trouble, can't move the ball. Then I stumbled across their clearance game. Now the eye tells you they're a gun clearance team. You know, the eye says no, they're gone in there, and Viney and Petrarca and Oliver, they're over invested in there if anything. So over the last 6 weeks, they're averaging three less clearances than their opponent, and they're outscoring them by 1 point, which is ranked AFL ninth. Again, AFL ninth is not a great ranking when you enter a finals campaign. Last year, they were plus 2 goals on their opponents. So they're plus 1 point, plus 2 goals. So there goes 2 goals from clearance. You can't move the ball, and you can't defend your back 50 when you know Geelong are going to get their time with the footy. You know Sydney are going to have 50 inside 50s minimum when they play them. So plus 2 goals they were last year, and the last 8 rounds of last year, including the finals, they were plus 5 goals week on week. So plus 5 goals from clearance is now plus 1 point.
Yep.
So these are massive shifts. So I give them enormous credit for still finding a way to win games, and they could finish second or third on the back of, you know, they're running on 2 or 3 cylinders really. And it's individuals that are finding a way to get them done because the system's a little bit banged up. Now, can you correct in the next one game and a week off to then run the table again in the finals? Logic says no, but I'm staggered they're even at this point. How are they here? So I think you've got to give a bit of credit to the senior core of those of talent there and the coach to be able to still navigate his way through all these icebergs with their game plan to get to this point. So it doesn't really matter whether you love them or not. You've still got to beat them. You've still got to find a way to beat them even though they're banged up. But if they fall to fifth or sixth, Jared, this is where I get nervous for them, right? Because I love watching them play. But they're not going to beat 4 teams in a row in September, including travel, having lost 7 of their last 12 games. If they get rolled on Friday night, they will have lost 7 of their last 12. They're not winning 4 in a row in September. So this Friday night is for all the marbles.
Yes.
It's for the lot. If they finish second or third, then they've got an opportunity. And we'll all love them again. But that's where it sits right now.
It's a high bar when you're the defending premier who finished off in such style last year. So the preliminary final integrity, what does it look like on the penultimate weekend of the season? So that's Carlton and Melbourne done for us. We've got best bits, which is clearly Ben Cunnington. We're going to work our way through that. The best bit in the means test, this will be felt across the football world. It was in prospect, but it played out quite beautifully, is we don't often hear from Ben Cunnington. We'd seen enough to know that the emotions were raw, and then you just have to touch into the humanity of it. And then on Fox Footy in the aftermath of the Adelaide game, we got it from the man himself.
Oh, mate, it's huge, especially where we've come from. And Belinda's been right there from the start. We had 3 little kids. We just had a newborn, and then about a week later, I started chemo. So she's been a rock, been there every bit of it. So I honestly couldn't have got back without her. And then she's cried about 2 or 3 times in our whole life, and to see her in tears, wasn't the best prep, but it was good just to take it all in and appreciate where we've been. Until it gets taken away with you, you quickly realise how much you do love it, and to get another opportunity at playing, and that I couldn't be more appreciative and grateful. So even though we lost, I still can't stop smiling and just trying to appreciate the ride now. Even during the treatment, I could barely get out of bed and go to the toilet without collapsing or feeling crook or you name it. And then first month was just walking, learning pretty much how to walk again, get the strength and the K's under the legs. So it's started from rock bottom.
That was Ben Cunnington. You're part of that, Kingy. It was raw, wasn't it, in the aftermath of his return to footy?
Last year we did their best and fairest via Zoom from in here, and he came second, I think. He was second or third. He would have been miles in front at one stage. And he broke down. He was in tears. He could hardly speak. He was talking about, you know, what was lost to his life with football and the football club, that environment, and you know, he's it was so tough to listen to and to chat with him about. And then you see him back there, and he come up the race, and it all just hit him. He was in tears as he met his wife and the kids, and they went through the banner. It was hard. It was hard not to be emotional yourself.
Yeah,
I had to check myself a couple of times, I reckon. And you think, just things look right when he's out there from a North Melbourne point of view. The number 10, the big frame, the she'll be right mannerisms that he has. He just strolls out there and, hey, it's all right, it's okay. And then I think he would have got a lot of satisfaction out of seeing Davies Uniacke do what he did around him, just that he took control of the game for the first 60 minutes. He was everything. And I think Ben would have just looked across and said, you know what, this is so good, because he's driven these young kids. He's carried the can for them for the last 2 to 3 years whilst they've grown. And I think he would have taken a lot of satisfaction about how he's taught these guys how to play. And the North Melbourne Football Club have missed him so much. And it's not just the 2 hours of the game. It's how you prepare, how you train. He's got an edge about him. He's got a level of anger. He wants to win the footy. He wants to hurt you. He wants to do all those things. So it was just so good to see him back. And you know, let's hope he finishes the year off well and we never have to talk about this again.
Lovely. Can I just a lesser best bit on field?
Mm-hmm.
Cam Rayner's last quarter.
Yeah, Cam Rayner. Wow. Leave him forward. Leave him inside 50. Don't put him in the midfield. I'm not even putting him in at centre bounces. He's of no value in at centre bounces. He's not a dancer. He's not Shea Bolton. He's a bit slower than that, and it's not disrespecting him at all. But when he's in that forward 50, the way he moves with such power, he moves with power, but it's not necessarily quick. You can't tackle him. You can't bring him down. So he's an absolute jet inside that forward 50. And I think that if Brisbane are going to win it, they will win it because of their forward 50. Not because of their midfield. It's nil or bust in there at the moment. So load up your asset, which is your forward 50, and see if they can get the job done for you.
We have curiosities aplenty to work through. We're going to do that next on the means test. And have we got a category for Richmond? I couldn't quite work out which category to put Richmond in. So I whacked them in the seedings. I've got them high too.
High.
Yeah, high. Oh, just trying to work out exactly. Very easily. This is Waitley for Red Energy. Moving house, call local energy retailer Red Energy and Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. Civil War at Essendon. We'll work our way back through that in the 11 o'clock hour. And for those who had their snap judgments, there is snap movement. So we might take a fresh set of calls on a bomber front. At 11, Robert Craddock is coming up as well. Kingy, the curiosity of Max King and the Saints.
Yeah.
There was, so being there on Friday night, it was an unusual, there was this sense of dread when he had ball in hand. Outside the fence and inside the fence, there wasn't a lot of people around Max King as he was going through the torture of it all. Then you listen to Matthew, or I listened to Dermot Brereton first on Crunch Time on Saturday. So this is his, so he just walked through what are the technical flaws in what we're seeing. And then Matthew Lloyd does it graphically on the footy show. So there's this natural from everyone, go and get them, go and get them. Brett Ratton's initial reaction is we have the wherewithal within the club to work through that. Yet 59 games in, this is part of who Max King is. I think it all ties together to be quite the curiosity.
Do we know whether Max actually wants Matthew Lloyd to take control?
So this has been imposed on him from the outside.
Yeah,
we think it's a good idea. And when you hear Matthew talk about it, or Dermot, of course it feels like a good idea.
I haven't heard Max say, you know what, Matthew Lloyd would be good for me, and I think I should go down that. But I haven't heard that. So I'm not saying he has or he hasn't said that, but I haven't heard it. And I just, my memory of the Joe Danaher Matthew Lloyd arrangement, I don't know how it finished, because every time Joe would have a shot at goal, the camera would pan to Matthew Lloyd in the commentary box, and we'd, you know, discuss, oh, he's missed that one, or he's kicked that one. You know, it's working, it's failing, it's working, it's failing. He loves me, he doesn't love me, he loves me, he doesn't. Then I don't know how it finished at the end. You know, was it all perfect at the end? I'm not convinced it was. So if you're Max, do you just keep it internal? Do you just keep it with a if it is a technical flaw, they will overcome the technical flaw. It's not a technical flaw. You can see when a guy's not got no idea where it's going. The mental side, you can see that. Every time he got the ball on the weekend, he went, oh, have a look. He's got no idea where this is going. It's like a driver off the first tee, Jared. Who knows where this one's going? It's a sick feeling for him. There's a bit of work to be done, though, isn't there? I mean, Lee Montagne showed last night that he's the poorest conversion of the top 10 goal kickers this year and has been that for the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's 59 games in. Mm. So, yes, he is a young player. But he's got to sort that out. He's overdue sorting that out, I think.
You need to know you're a bad kick to fix it. You need to absolutely know. Like Levi Casbolt said, oh, this is not my caper here. What do I need to do? And absolutely went back to ground zero. I think Sav Rocker had a big part to play in that. Refined the ball drop. Really mechanical. Looks a bit awkward. Probably feels a bit awkward for a while. But it's effective. So you need to accept that there's a massive issue here before you change.
St Kilda more broadly, so they're going to get to the end of this season. They may back out of it 3-8, having put up 8-3. That's still to be determined on Sunday. They're not playing finals from here. Mm. What? So that they have to, my thesis.
Yeah, you go.
They have to ask themselves the question really coldly: is our premiership in this group? And the answer to that is no.
It's no.
It's no. They're not winning their premiership with this team.
Why?
It's a curious mishmash, I think. There's not enough draft talent. There's too many consultants. So I think they have enough, my personal belief, there's enough evidence at the end of this year to go, this group is not winning the flag. So what is our strategic approach? And I don't think it's one or two players from other clubs. I think they have to scoop into the draft in the next 2 years. That's only my view. But do you
think? So that's a long way back then.
It is.
So the draft talent are not going to seriously impact games for 4 years, 5 years? That's what happens.
Yeah, maybe.
Call it 3 years.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the trajectory of Max King's career and going, okay, so we're 3 years in. We have to build a team with him at the pinnacle of his days that's going to be contending for the flag. So I think that's years 6 to 9.
Years 6 to 9.
So that gives you 3 years to build a list around him.
Gee whiz, it's not a great timeline.
No, it's not. But if you add one more player here and one more player there, so they're mid-table ordinary, and they will stay mid-table ordinary, adding a player here or there, here or there, here or there. But that's only my view. I'm more interested in your view.
Well, yours is. Yours is bringing timelines. I like it, Jared.
Do they have their flag in this group?
Do they have their... Well, I think they play some brilliant footy. And with their pressure game, when it's on, they are a competent contender-style outfit for me. But then they go away from that too quickly and they become a little bit fraudulent with how they score. Guys getting forward of the ball, not... So they go out of pressure into getting forward of the ball in a heartbeat. When they're living in pressure and maintain the game in pressure, I think they're very good. So I don't know. I think we're late to the party with whether teams can win the flag with groups. I think it's done more on the non-negotiables, the standards, and then all systems are different and they've all got their flaws. But what works for your group can work big. Do they need some more talent? Everyone needs more talent. I just think they've got to get their game right. They were flying at the midpoint of the season. Let's not forget that. I think they were 8-2 or 8-3.
8-3.
We weren't saying that at 8-3, were we?
No, it looked like they were putting themselves into contention, but they said themselves will be tested on the way home. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come out of that test. Best case 4-7, they're looking at 3-8. I think you can exist forever in the middle ranges. Yeah. So you tell me it's a premiership business. I think, and they might ask themselves the question and go, yes. And then ultimately it swings on whether they're right or not. So anyway, I just think so if they miss this moment to clearly, if they misread their list now, so they'll either be there, I'm either wrong and they'll be right. But we say the worst thing for a club is to not know where they're at. They have to know where they're at the end of this season, and they have to be right.
Yeah. So how do you get those draft picks in? What, who do you trade out for those? What cost does that have in the short term? Do you have currency? I mean, how many players at St Kilda have genuine currency? You know, they've talked about shopping Billings for years. You know, Gresham is another name that gets thrown up, but that's, what does he bring? What pick does he bring? So you're better off keeping them or getting a second-round pick. I mean, what's the point of getting a second-round pick that is going to be 3 years from meaningful impact on AFL games, and at second round, there's some question marks as to what level of impact that player will have. I think they'd stick fat with what they've got and maybe hope to trade around the edges. I think this is Brett Ratten's lot. He has to win a flag with this group, otherwise it won't be Brett Ratten.
Last one here is the debate. This will be tomorrow's debate, so I just want to flag it. Is the Zane Cordy tribunal summons? I think in a football sense, this is unconstitutional. You're actually shifting the burden of proof to him tomorrow night to prove his innocence. That's not the way that it works. If you want to send him to the tribunal, and all power to the system, there's a concussion here, but you have to lay a charge. What's Zane Cordy defending tomorrow?
Can you just, let's strip this back a little bit. Can you just give me the specifics of what Michael Christian's job is?
Yeah, so his What's job his is role, to look Jim? At an incident, to grade it, and then to send it forward, publish and be damned.
So it is either an short of the mark of a suspendable act, or it isn't.
Yeah. So when this goes to the tribunal tomorrow night, the Bulldogs should start with this has to be thrown out, and it should be successful. This hearing should not take place tomorrow night. Under these circumstances, Jeff Gleeson should just tip it out at the start and go, no, well, you can't reverse the burden of proof.
No.
This is unconstitutional, what's happening tomorrow night.
And if that doesn't work, you appeal again and you get off.
Go to the appeals board. That'll be fine. It's all riddled with errors anyway.
So can we just get the lawmakers to tell us what the actual laws are?
Either charge him or clear him. Then it goes to the tribunal. This is totally unacceptable, happening.
What about that waffle they went on with at the start of the year? Oh, if you go past the ball, if you do this, if you do that.
Important seedings coming up next. Seedings for Red Energy. Moving house, call local energy retailer Red Energy. Is Richmond in your seedings?
Oh, they are. I'm not happy with it. I don't think they can win it, Jared, because I think defensively the gaps are too big. But of the rest, they're the most dangerous. Their system is still very good when they play the turnover game. I've got them at four.
Yep.
Don't tell me you've got them higher than four.
I've got Melbourne at four.
Oh, yes. You got Melbourne at four?
Kudos for winning.
Yeah.
I'm not all in on Melbourne just at the moment. Three?
I've got them at three. I've got Melbourne at three with not a lot of love, with low confidence. I've got low confidence in my four and low confidence in my three.
Sydney at three. There was just so much that made sense yesterday.
Hang on, Sydney at three. Hang on.
Two? Who have you got at two?
Two. I've got Sydney at two. I think they are the biggest threat to Geelong right now. Super healthy, playing a brilliant basic brand of defensive footy that's got flair once they win the ball, and wild cards forward of centre. They are right in the fight.
I've got Richmond at two. This is my overreaction of the week.
You bring him in and you bring him to two.
Straight to two. There's just something going on there. There's something going on now that they've solved Richmondy for the time being.
You're wild.
Yeah, I watched that third quarter yesterday and went, oh my God, it can't be happening again, can it? I put them at two. And we both got Geelong at one.
It's round 22 and you're making wild moves like this. Where's this been?
Wild.
The Cats' best is we always talk about the best. Whose best is the best? It's miles better than the rest. Super healthy. Just mucking around with magnets for the sake of it, Chris Scott. Resting. Oh, What a finish to the season.
Cats at one. Seedings awarded Canstar's most trusted energy providers nationally 2021-2022. That's Red Energy. Thanks, Kingy.